Now that Wendy's has these new biggie deals, everyone in the family can get what they're craving, from Nugs to JBCs. The parental units can get an $8 biggie bundle, the eldest who think they're so grown can get a $6 biggie bag, and the little one who can do no wrong can get a $4 biggie bites. You know, assuming they have a credit card. No, I'm kidding. We take cash too. $4, $6, and $8 biggie deals for the whole family. Only at Wendy's.
Price and participation may vary. Single items at regular price. Prices may be higher in Alaska, California, and Hawaii.
Football on off the ball.
Somehow the sweet spot between Klopp football and Schlott football turned out to be title winning football. And you have to give him credit for that. That didn't happen by chance.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Power Rankings on Off the Ball with Harvey Norman, official stats sponsor of the GAA.
Yep, it is the Power Rankings. We're doing football today, as we always do, hurling every Wednesday. Your guide to the football rankings is, as always, Tommy Rooney. But special klaxon alert. Yep. He is here with us in studio today. How are you doing, Tommy? All the way up in the big schmoke.
Michael, how are you doing? Hello, Matthew.
Hello, Tommy.
Matthew Brennan here as well. Matthew, we'll start with you, because it was a football weekend that kind of had that bit of everything. Not a huge amount of games or anything like that, but it had its kind of like dull as ditch water game. It had its like super dramatic, it had its hammering. One we weren't expecting, and then it had its like two super dramatic games. The least of the two super dramatic games was the one where Westmead secured All-Ireland football for the summer ahead and a Leinster final date with the Dubs, an extra time win over Kildare. I described you last week as a pig in shit. Would you describe yourself as like fully rolling around there, just getting all the back
like
and shoulders
completely covered, like,
yeah, just
yeah,
really digging
stuff
in now, like,
yeah, really picture that now. But yeah, an amazing result for Westmead. Probably not quite the performance maybe that they had against Mead, but take nothing away from the result. I mean, their backs were against the wall before they even went out on the pitch there at the weekend, obviously against a team a little less calibre in Kildare than maybe what Mead had been showing as of late. But they, good, talented, quality football too, but just pure grit and determination too. Lads stepping up all over the pitch, senior members of the squad. I mean, Ray Kinnellan out there lording around the middle of the field was absolutely ridiculous. If anyone hasn't seen it, we can maybe come back to it later on, but a catch there towards the end of extra time out on the touchline. I mean, we talk about, you know, when you look at, like, in football, like the Bundesliga logo is like this kind of guy kicking a ball, and we talk about like Thierry Henry, and we talk about all these different things. Mm. Like, this is like, I'm surprised I haven't seen a pitch. It's ridiculous. Like, yeah, he's hanging in the air, and I'm not going to get carried away with myself here, but so many lads stepped up.
I'm sensing a Michael Jordan / David Clifford style silhouette here. Yeah, you're looking for Ray Kinnellan to launch his own brand.
Yeah, I think
brand.
So. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
I think you find that. Yeah. I did love how Ray Kinnellan set the tone in that game for Westmead.
Carbon copy of the Mead game.
Just the score he kicked early doors.
Yeah, the left boot.
Exactly. And obviously, you know, no Luke Lachlan. They get a free on the left. Who takes it? Ray Kinnellan. Bang.
Yeah.
Settled.
Yeah. I mean, sorry, go on.
Westmead have been kind of coming, like, we had a few conversations about, like, you know, them beating the Dubs in the under-20s and the minor in the same week. And it's not as if Dublin have been dominant in Leinster underage football or anything like that. But it does feel as though, and it's like an interesting, but like you wait and see what happens, senior managerial appointment this year. The kind of older lads obviously deciding to give it another go, always a good sign. I think there's nobody disappeared from that team in the last 2 years, I think, anyway. No.
Ron Westmead, well, you have Ronan O'Toole.
Ronan O'Toole, okay, who left, who went travelling, and I think he might be back now. But John Heston, obviously,
major loss
as well.
John Heston's a couple of years.
Kevin Maguire, again, he's an older head as well. We left James Dolan. So there has been, Jimmy Dolan, there has been a couple of guys going, but you're right, though, about the likes of Ronan Wallace and Ray Kinnellan, and even Jason Daly played some role in goal there the weekend too. He's of the older crew.
And a good crew. I just wonder sometimes, is there that sort of like county belief that things are in the right direction? And it doesn't take that much, because you're talking about like good football teams that are, especially in Leinster at the moment, are all of a similar kind of level. And you just have that little bit of sort of surge based on, and then you go and actually get the job done against Mead in that game. Like, the confidence they must have taken into this week is unreal.
There was also the case to be made that last year under Dermot McCabe, they were so unlucky in so many games. And maybe when you're that close, it can go two ways for a squad. You can fall apart, or what Mark McHugh kind of told us back in July, we had him at a live show at the Football Pod, he wanted to add a bit of grit. He wanted to bring an extra bit of, I'm saying it's an Ulster trade is a different thing, but I wonder, was there a like, I'm going to use this word now that I get in trouble with a lot. I wonder, is there a softness sometimes that could have been there? Like, why are you losing games by that much? And what has Mark McHugh done to kind of flip the script on that? He was obviously involved with McCabe beforehand, but something has changed in the Westmeath mentality in the last 18 months.
Yeah.
In the last 6 months.
So that's 6 months, yeah.
Something has
yeah.
clicked. Mm. That's fascinating. I want to hear
yeah.
that at some stage.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And sorry, just there's a combination of a couple of things there. Like, there's the older crew that are there, but there's also three or four different under 20 teams that maybe went under the radar slightly because they weren't actually going all the way
but
and winning
performing.
It. But they're performing. Yeah. And there's four or five lads have come from each of those teams that are in there. And majority of that team are in their early 20s.
Yes.
And then there's a couple of lads in the middle too, like Robbie Ford came off the bench and always comes off the bench and makes a big difference. But like Breen Cooney stepped up massively there at the weekend. And Shane Ormsby was brought on because Matty Whittaker was injured, played 10 minutes, who was the best player against Meath outside of Luke, obviously, who was out, Luke Loughlin, who was out as well.
Yeah.
And a lot of these guys came in and it just shows that Mark McHugh has got a lot of faith in the depth of the panel that he's got there. Four or five lads, I counted off the top of my head, made their senior championship debuts at the weekend for Westmeath. Like, and I mean, that can only be a good thing when you look at the 20s, you look at the minors, you go even further down, you look at the Hogan Cup. I mean, the Leinster schools final this year was competed between two Westmeath schools. So things are definitely trending upwards.
Unreal.
And we've got a Leinster final to look forward to. And that makes a huge difference because, oh my God, the crowd that were there. Westmeath, not notorious for bringing out large numbers for stuff, but my God, they
love that line.
It was amazing. It was amazing.
Notorious.
But it's a fair point. They're not.
We'll come back to this in a couple of minutes. We're going to move off Westmeath now. But are you up to Jack O'Connor line of thinking that the fact that the qualifier draw is made and you've now been drawn against Cavan, so the winners of that game are guaranteed two more games than Sam Maguire, are you not just going to rest all your injured players on the brink for a Leinster final? You've already won one back in 2004.
You know what? Let's get to that in a sec because we're going to go, because I think it's a really, it's actually the first thing we're going to really talk about properly, because we didn't mean to go down such a rabbit hole on Westmeath, or maybe we did.
It feels like I've kind of been brought in to be the Westmeath correspondent here.
Hold on a second, you've got a Westmeath scarf in front of you, your bucket hat is underneath the desk.
Yeah, I know, I'm happy to do it, but I'm just saying, people gave me some pelters there a few weeks ago. Is this the Westmeath show? Is this the Meath show?
Sure, look, we talk about the rest of it.
It's been 20 years.
Loads of Leinster finals.
Six.
But that was back when Leinster finals didn't count.
Two in the last. Yeah.
Well, I was at the Dublin game now on Saturday night, so we'll get to that in a couple minutes.
This is what I want to kind of pick up on, because I think that's where we'll talk about whether the Leinster final matters for the Leinster final's sake and so on, right? So let's go and look at our 33 to 25. No changes here in the last two pages of the power rankings. So you have New York at 33, Waterford at 32, London 31, Tip 30, Antrim 29, Fermanagh 28, Leitrim, the besmirched Leitrim by Mark McHugh, 27, Longford 26, Carlow 25. And if you pop onto the next page then as well, where there's also no changes this week. Limerick are at 24, Wicklow at 23, Sligo 22, Offaly 21, Laois 20, Clare 19, Wexford 18, Cavan 17. Cavan, the only ones outside the top 16 to be in the top 16 officially, which means that the All-Ireland's fairly well divided, Tommy, at least according to your power rankings.
Yeah.
There's one team, obviously, that people, I think, will have wanted to see. And, you know, they didn't do themselves any favours yesterday. So it's not as if...
No.
We're not crying as much as we were at 3 o'clock yesterday.
No.
Or at half three.
And look, you could say... I think I said last week it'd be a travesty if Down didn't make it into the Sam Maguire series. Yeah. I probably do feel like it's a bit of a loss to football that Down aren't there. But did I see them... I had a fair feeling Westmeath would do very well against Kildare. I thought it was a close game, but I had a fair feeling Down weren't going to get the better of Armagh.
Yeah.
A week on from emptying themselves against Donegal. It was such a difficult turnaround. Even Kieran McGeaney spoke about it afterwards, feeling sorry for Down. Mm. And Armagh are such a machine. They're number two in the power rankings for a reason. All-Ireland champions in 24. They have the depth. They have the variety in their play. They have bodies coming back, and they have a manager that knows how to win an All-Ireland.
Yeah.
Still trying to win an Ulster title as a manager, so we'll see what happens in 2 weeks' time.
Mm. So anyway, the lower ranked teams then, as we have it, we have a Tailteann Cup draw.
Mm-hmm.
We know who's playing who. How does this compare to what your rankings are?
Yeah, so again, like the All-Ireland series draw, which we'll get to in a couple of minutes, some really, really competitive ties. We have got... Now, the first seven fixtures are all on May 9th or 10th, this coming weekend. We've got 28 ranked Fermanagh up against 26th place Longford. We have 20th place Laois up against Wicklow, 23rd, who obviously allowed the Dubs to escape Ockram. So we'll see how Wicklow bounce back from that. 19th place Clare at home to 21st place Offaly. That's going to be a tasty matchup. Yeah. 25th place Carlo up against 29th place Antrim. That game is in Dr. Cullen Park. So, you know, the Division 4 champions up against a team in Antrim that are looking to bounce back. 18th place Wexford up against 24th place Limerick. These two would have met in the league final last year, so they've been very close over the years. So a bit of a distance in the power rankings, but they've been very close. Bit of a gap here between 22nd Sligo and 30th Tipperary. But that could be a bit of a banana skin for Sligo, who have been kind of in odd form this year. 32nd place Waterford up against 31st place London, who are travelling over to Far Field. And then the big game, the team that dropped down out of the All-Ireland Series, down 14th place in the country, up against 27th place Leitrim, to be played on the weekend of May 16th and 17th.
Is the Tadhg Cup the same format as the football draw? So it's we have winners... The winners of all these eight games will go on to a winner's group and they'll play each other in four games and the losers will play in the straight knockout game in the next round.
Yeah. And then there's one more chance after that for the losers group.
And it's all open draw from here on in.
All open draw. I don't think there can be a repeat parents, or there certainly would be avoided around the quarterfinal stages. Definitely in the All-Ireland series. They'll endeavour to avoid them. May not be possible, but that is the aim.
When can... Okay, cool. So you're probably looking at down. If we move on to slide B, is where all the changes are, and it's where we really need to get to it. Like, and this is where I think we'll talk about a couple of the big pieces, right? But even just starting at the bottom, we've got Kildare dropping below Westmeath. It's just a straight swap between 16th and 15th there. You didn't, although down have fallen out, their hammering to Armagh wasn't enough for you to drop them to below Westmeath, but though they do drop two places. They're in 14th. Tyrone are up 1 to 13th. Derry down 2 after their performance against Monaghan. Meath 11th. And the big movers, I've never seen anything like it, Tommy. 4 places up for Monaghan into 10th place. Loud drop 2 to 9th. So they're off the first page for the first time. I think let's pause on the Monaghan thing for a minute, because I think we want to dig into that in a real way, right? But going back to kind of Westmeath there, right? 15th rank. They're going into the All-Ireland. As you say, they're playing Cavan.
Yeah.
That's a good chance. That's a team ranked below them, say, in according to the Tommy Rooney power rankings.
The official.
You have to look then rankings, at you're in, you know, the last 12 in the country.
Yeah.
You know, you can go on a bit of a run here.
Mm-hmm.
The provincial finals in football have been left in a position where they are entirely, and I don't think this was even the case last year with the group stages, seeding places, but they are entirely for their own sake only. I don't have a problem with that. I think especially in Ulster, winning a title is its own thing. I think for the non-Dublin teams in Leinster, I think that counts as well. It's a weird situation for them to be separated so much, but Westmeath have to be all about winning Leinster. They can beat Dublin, like.
Oh, like, yeah, well, the first point about Westmeath all focus on Leinster is 100% couldn't be any more true. Like, whatever comes after that is obviously ideal. Westmeath, with the way they are and have been over the last couple of years, will want to be playing like All-Ireland Series Sam Maguire football as opposed to the Tatton Cup, because they've been there and they've done that, albeit with a different bunch of players. They can beat Dublin, of course they can. I mean, Dublin were good. We'll probably get on to that in a couple of minutes at the weekend. They were very good. Loud were very bad as well, and they'd say that themselves. Westmeath with Luke Loughlin, I would give a huge chance. I do think, I know you were saying at the weekend, Tommy, maybe you have a difference of opinion here, but the bookies are very much in favour of Dublin here in the same way they were with Meath, and it obviously a different situation.
I mentioned on the football pod that
I was getting tagged in stories from some local Westmeath pages.
The Lake County podcast. They're hopping on straight, and that's when you know a county are brimming. The podcast is up. The football pod is uploaded Sunday night at 10:45, and at 11:15, I'm getting shade already.
And bear in mind,
because of bookies odds.
You were saying
they won't like going all the way down to 15 in the power rankings.
Bear in mind. Bear in mind Mullingar was on absolute wheels on Sunday night as well,
as it should be.
Someone was still finding time to hear Tommy having a slight dig. So no,
wait till you get to Monaghan and I'll tell you all about that.
But anyway, back to the point. They'll fancy themselves to give it a rattle, absolutely
100%. And I don't think if they do perform and lose, say, I don't think it affects what happens against Cavan 2 weeks after
that. No, I don't think so.
Two weeks after that.
Yeah, two weeks.
Bodies are so important, right?
Yeah, and their lack of bodies too.
It's so tight, it's condensed, all counties are going to feel it. When we were watching the Dubs warming up on Saturday night, I had a player come in on Conor Callaghan to try and read his body language as he was scuffing the penalty spot and trying to, didn't see him kicking a ball, but I was like, okay, he looks like he's into it. I did notice Cormac Costello looking laser focused. You know, had the headphones on, was doing his own thing, checking the wind in the corner. I actually got word from someone probably a little too early that Owen Merchant had dropped out of the panel. It kind of comes through about 3 hours early to the county secretaries, and I'd say the county panels had an idea that who was in or who was not. So we knew Con was actually in the match day panel. Dublin not risking Con O'Callaghan against Loud is one thing. The first day out.
Yeah.
But are Dublin going to risk Conor Callaghan in a Leinster final when they know they have Loud in 2 weeks' time? And beating Loud puts them in a far better position than beating Westmeath.
This is where I think that's where it comes in.
And I think you're
asking about, like, you know, Jack O'Connor talking about, you know, them playing Donegal, like, is something I can't focus on because we have this game against Cork. But they've won... I'm going to just throw out a number here. I don't have the statistics in front of me, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. 7,412 Munster titles.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure that's pretty accurate, you know. Yeah. So, like, what difference does one make, really? They'll want to win, but it can't be the be-all, end-all. They're the All-Ireland champions, like, you know. So it does... It just... Do you know what it is? I don't know if it'll happen in... There are four interesting games this year. They're not the worst, actually. And I think Cork are good enough at the moment that they'll probably... just tweak Kerry's instinct, keep them down. You know what I mean? And Kerry will show up for them. And the other three finals have their own stories. So I think it's actually grand, but I don't love that it's in a position that it could be undermined. You know, we're in a position where the provincial finals can get to the stage where they mean nothing.
Things aren't perfect, right, with the calendar. And I'm actually not even criticising that, I'm just saying
I don't love this byproduct.
I'm a little bit reluctant to get into a structures debate right now, and I don't think we will.
We're not.
But I think, and I don't know if that's been an accidental move, or has there been a very conscious move to increase the separation between the provincials and the All-Ireland series. Because we are going from a league to a cup knockout, back to a kind of a, again, last year was a kind of a league form, but back to more of a cup knockout now as well. I wonder, would the most natural progression be, just throwing it out there, maybe an FA Cup style provincial championship early in the year, or maybe spread across, and then you've got your league building up to the All-Ireland series. Because, like, this is what the All-Ireland series is dictated by, is the teams in the league, like the top 16 in the country, bar down, are in it. So, look, you mentioned Kerry there and you threw out a stat. It's 14 of the last 16 Munster titles.
I threw out a stat. You're saying my stat wasn't accurate.
You were close. Dublin are 19 of the last 21 Leinster titles.
Yeah.
Like, now, for players in that dressing room, of course it'll make a difference. A Cork-Kerry Munster final, of course it makes a massive difference. Mm. And Jack O'Connor was a pains to say and point out after the Clare game, they're going to have no more bodies back. They've lost Tom O'Sullivan. He repeated it again in their Munster final press day yesterday. They're going to have no bodies back, and they are missing Tom O'Sullivan. So the squad they had against Clare is the squad apparently they're going to have against Cork. So, you know, Cork are going up against Meath, a team they've met a lot over the last couple of years too. And Cork are going to know how important a Munster title will be to this group. But also, if they beat Meath in round one of the qualifiers, they're in a far better position than if they won the Munster final.
I wonder though, if you're like, we're talking about Westmeath, we're talking about Cork, with all the best will in the world, like there's a potential there, but I don't think it's going to happen this year. Like, you have to be looking at stepping stones, and I wonder if, like, getting to round three is as much of a stepping stone as beating Kerry in the Munster final. Like, you know, and even if you know that that's not the Kerry you'll be meeting in July, it's still a step, like, isn't it? And then next year you go in as Munster champions, you think to yourself, what kind of a run can we have in the All-Ireland? Can we make a semi-final?
Yeah, I think even you look at Meath last year and getting all the way to the Leinster final and then getting back up on the horse. And
it's a good counterpoint. I would say what Meath did post Leinster final defined their season a lot more than if they had beaten Loud in the final.
It definitely defined what we think of them as a group now. But I don't know, within the group, would they trade that All Ireland semi final run for a Leinster title?
Well, it depends, right?
Depends if they don't go on and win one in the next couple of years, then probably they would. Yeah.
Look, the context is important here. The bounce that Meath football got last summer, the belief, the momentum in the county, like the. We had a young fella, young Sheridan, on the show after a league game against Monaghan, and he said, "I believe in my county."
Yeah,
it was John Milan-esque, like from this 11-year-old kid.
It's amazing.
A nephew of the Sheridans who would have played at Meath, And he believed, but not many other people in Meath believed in their county team last year, this young group of footballers. But what that run did was give that bit of belief and it put the chest out. It led to Meath falling short this year, but like Meath had a couple of attainable goals this year. A Leinster title at the start of the year, rather than reaching an All-Ireland final or getting promoted to Division 1, was possibly the one that you could say, okay, that's the one that's next on the list. They got promoted.
Yeah,
they didn't get to a Leinster final. They got caught rightfully by Westmeath, who were far better on the day. A bump in the road, but like progress isn't linear either.
Yeah,
so
exactly,
it all depends on the context of your squad.
It does.
But I think what we're getting is a bounce. Mullingar would have been hopping back all the weekend, right?
It was.
Look at the energy. And it means something to the people of the county when there is that excitement. Ennis was ready to be hopping on Sunday night. And I'm sure it still was. I didn't venture into the town.
I'm not talking about that.
After that clipping they got against Limerick. But the downer it brings on a county.
Yeah.
So like, I think that qualifier draw, the qualifiers themselves, we're going to have a lot of counties getting very excited and canvassing, like the Monaghan supporters were canvassing me at the weekend about the power rankings. And I think they deserve to move up four spots. I think Derry deserve to move down two spots.
Let's talk about that now, actually. I just want to make one more quick point about, say, like a team like Cavan or a team like Tyrone and everything like that, and the way we're looking at this draw. Look at what Monaghan did last week, and you probably look at Cavan slightly differently, right? But also, you just like the teams who are knocked out early are restarting their season. We don't know what we're going to get from them. The teams that are running through, we're kind of they're picking up momentum. It's just going to be interesting when it comes to that first round in a few weeks' time as to whether we're getting, like, you know, like Cavan could have gone to the Dogs in the meantime, or they could really be raising themselves. And suddenly Westmeath are coming off a Leinster final and playing against a completely rejuvenated team that were kind of underrated anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there's absolutely a word for
that. Everyone underrated? Like, everyone
they could be underrated.
But that's the thing. Yeah. Like, Monaghan were not underrated by their power rankings. Monaghan deserved to be in 14th place in the bloody power rankings.
Can we see slide B again there, just the 9 to 16? Because I just want to make a point here, because we're getting into Monaghan now, right? So Monaghan have risen four places, which, Tommy, I haven't been doing this too long.
Well, I can tell you, Mick, before you open your mouth, Meath slid back four places, and there was a team that bumped up four places 2 weeks ago as well.
It was low, wasn't it?
You might have been off.
I was off 2 weeks ago.
I'm not afraid.
I wasn't criticising.
Meade and Loud did a straight swap, didn't they?
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, I think.
And Loud have slid back.
This is a conversation about Monaghan being our county story of the week, because that game, like, talk about never say die. Like, but actually, the reason I'd have them on as county story of the week is that they're back in another Ulster final.
Yeah.
This Monaghan story, the longevity of it, you know, and it's a completely new team now. Like, it's Rory Began, like, and one or two others. Like, and all of them, you know, like, Conor Carty's still there, and Jack McCarron's still there. And,
there is a lot of them still
But
there.
They haven't, that wasn't, no. They were the young lads, some of them, look, other than Began, in the prime McManus team.
I said it's on the night, right?
Yeah.
Unbelievable credit has to go to Monaghan, right? And the fellas you're mentioning got the credit, okay?
Desi Ward.
Began, McCarty, Desi Ward, McCarron. But young Oisín O'Gorman comes off the bench.
This
young
is what
Bobby
I'm saying.
McCall,
like,
comes off the bench.
It's a new team. Like,
Monaghan, and there has to be a better way of phrasing it. I should have a better way with words here. But they have footballers coming out of their arse pockets all the time. They keep generating superb inter-county footballers. They just keep doing it.
Mm.
And maybe it's the fact that, you know, being a slightly smaller county and a condensed population who are absolutely obsessed with football, maybe that allows for, I don't know, the breeding, the development of it to just be that little bit more intense. And they're just constantly around clawing and baiting each other in really competitive county league games and a senior championship that is just developing really good footballers. There's a fairly decent school system. They have a fairly decent coaching system underage. Now, I think they had lost a little bit of that rhythm. I do think that they had.
But not for long, though. That's my point, because it did feel like the Monaghan I grew up watching, they won an Ulster title in 1988, I think, all right? Like, and Ulster football wasn't even overly strong back then. And then through the kind of 90s when Ulster football dominated, they were like, they were there with the kind of easy draw in the first round. You know what I mean? And you weren't worried about them too much. And then they obviously had this great run that started under Banty and went on and has gone on for a long time up until even a couple of years ago. But you're thinking, like, it is only natural that there's going to be ebbs in such a small county. And for them to kind of, again, it's not to say that they're back and they're going to win All-Ireland or anything like that, but to be back competitive and to really just like, this Derry team that should have been so out of sight, and we have a lot of talk about Derry, we have to as well at some point, because it's not this wasn't a one team show, like, you know, for them to do this, but for them to actually come back and do it, I just very impressed by them, I have to say.
I think if any county was going to do what Derry did at the weekend, it was Derry. And if any county was going to do what Monaghan did at the weekend, it was Monaghan. Five of their first six scores of the second half are two pointers. They're not Hail Mary shots. No. But they're also not, there's a percentage point around the 40 metre arc, right? And it's, you can see for a right footer, for a left footer, you've a fair good chance of putting it over the bar. Anywhere else, the percentages drop. And I know we've exited the area of high percentage shots, but yeah, there is a point in the arc. None of Monaghan's two-pointers are anywhere close to being sure things. But the quality of Micheál Na Caraval, Rory Beggan on the right, forget about the winner in extra time, but at the start of the second half, he dinks over a two-pointer. It's like a 50 degree wedge that he just kind of flops over a bunker from the right.
No follow through.
And just goes over the bar line. Yeah. And it's just straight back out. Na Caraval does it. Desi Ward's an extra
Desi
time.
Desi Ward's one is ridiculous.
Off the chart.
Yeah. He's no right to be doing that.
He had a great game, didn't he?
Like, yeah.
It's off the chart. Yeah. And like, Derry did so many things right. But their game management at the debt.
Yeah.
And we spoke about this Sunday night with James and Paddy. Their game management around the sidelines, as opposed to Monaghan's, was very poor. I actually think Westmead were very lucky to survive at one stage as well. They allowed Alex Byrne back up the field, very similar to against the Wexford. They haven't learned that lesson.
Yeah.
Do you know about it dead?
They had a free with 50 seconds to go and opted to try and kick the two to put 3 points between them
and then didn't put
the ball dead either and gave away free and then worked it up on Alex Byrne and then levelled the game.
And you might be questioning why Westmead haven't risen four places in the power rankings. I actually think Westmead are where they should be.
Yeah,
and I actually I think we've done enough on Westmeath.
Yeah, it's fine. All right.
But Monaghan, I think.
I tried.
I'm not saying their ceiling is 10.
Put your place there.
I'm not saying their ceiling is 10, right? But they jumped four places in a game that they were not in for a lot of that. But the magic that they had in their boots to come back, like McCarthy slicing that over, and then McCarron. Like, can we just linger on this for a minute?
Yeah.
The absolute hysteria. The magic. Imagine being a Monaghan kid behind Jack McCarron.
Yeah, I know.
We're calling the Monaghan and their comeback and their win, the county story of the week. I mean, we also have a Hawkeye moment of the week, which is we talk about the close call that's getting everybody in the country talking. Like,
it is
this couple of minutes on the back. Can I just even just tell the story today? Because you're, Tommy, you're engrossed in GAA, and I'm sure you were in Portlaoise
watching this.
You know, watching this and living and dying by it, right? Okay, but and also at the same time, there is like Premier League happening. There's the snooker world final is on, or the semi-final, because this is on Saturday. So it was like a really tense semi-final. Yeah. You're watching, it was in the last session, like, and Leinster in the Champions Cup semi-final. So this is all going on, and I've got this match on, and I'm really disappointed in it. Like, I'm really disappointed that it's not a game, but also kind of in some ways relieved that I don't have to spend too much of my attention on it when there's so much happening. And then I turn it on for good, whether everything finished or whatever it was, I turn it on for good, and Monaghan are 10 points down.
Mm.
And time's not up, but there's not a huge amount left. That's probably 56, 57 minutes kind of thing, you know, on a stop clock era. Not a huge amount of time. And they immediately just... They just turn it on, and they just turned it into this incredible comeback. But is time up? Is time not? The first person I want to talk about, and I know it's the obvious person to talk about, but I think we have we can be almost saying, oh, Rory Beggin's always the story. Let's not talk about Rory Beggin. The two plays before that, you're watching, and none of us were at the game. I was talking to David outside, who was at it, and I was like, I don't know it could be as dramatic as it was on TV. But when Derry are clearing the ball and time's basically up, Beggin comes from nowhere. Like, there's no way you couldn't possibly see him coming out, and he slides in and
he gives it back out.
And it's a Derry sideline, and they kind of mess it up. It's really good pressure again. He's involved in it, and they win the sideline that ultimately leads to the Hawkeye moment of the week, which is a referee kind of not knowing the rules, which is, I understand they're under pressure and everything like that, but for God's sake.
The Hawkeye moment of the week, and I think the credit has to go to David Garland. We're doing this Tuesday after the Saturday. Rory Beggin mentioned him to Mark Sidebottom in his post-match interview. He kind of mentions offhand, like, David Garland is the one to kind of...
He got through to the referee, I think Beggin was just shouting at him, like,
I've been there with referees plenty of times where you're trying to say, and it never works.
Yeah.
Referees do not listen to players, and Noel Mooney was not listening to Rory Beggin.
That's the thing.
But David Garland... And I'm just going to read this piece with Owen Ryan from 2021 on RT Sport. What comes to mind when you think of the typical GAA umpire? A committed club mate of the referee, perhaps? with hair, that's a bit of a dig, if any, tending towards the same shade as the jacket supplied. Monaghan forward David Garland, 21, is something of a curiosity then, in umpiring at intercounty level while still making his way in the game. I do it the odd time whenever I can. I do it for Martin McMally, who is a Monaghan referee. He talks about getting dragged into it. Yeah. Martin asked him one day to umpire a Macquarie Cup game. I got sent a piece by Shane Rice, who you might know on GA Circles Online. Shane being refereed by David in a club game in Dublin. Garland gets through to Noel Mooney.
Yeah.
And Noel Mooney reverses.
He realises. You can see it in his face that he's just actually copped it, and he turns around and walks off, yeah.
And I wonder, is there some sort of referee speak that we should all learn from David Garland?
Yeah. Something happens where Mooney just swings it and he just puts a hand up and goes, and Owen McAvoy desperately tries to say,
and I have to make a pointer, McAvoy desperately tries to say, it's only one, it's only one. And there was plenty of people in Portlaoise showing me their phone with Google AI telling them it's only one point. I kept getting sent a screenshot on Instagram and Twitter telling me I was wrong. Stop using AI, folks, for everything.
Why
Stop.
Would it have been only one? I don't understand. It's outside the arc.
ChatGPT hasn't figured out the
No, I'm not talking about ChatGPT. I'm talking about where was the argument coming from?
It would have been one, wouldn't it, if he had gone out of play further up the pitch?
No.
It wouldn't have been.
It would have been one if it had gone out of play further in the pitch.
That's what I'm saying.
Inside the 21 metre line.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Sorry. Yeah, further up towards the end line. Yeah. So in theory,
because the 21 is inside no matter what. So this was outside it, so there was an arc in front of him.
We've a 21 meter line, we have a 40 meter arc, and anything outside the 40 meter arc and the 21 meter line is a 2 pointer, a bar a 45, which was changed after the interprovincials last year when a couple of intercounty players made the point that what's the point of being on the end line? I can try and set up a 2 point shot just by hand passing the ball off a defender. So that's why the 45 was changed to a 1, which is totally understandable.
Yeah. So in theory, if it was Ethan Doherty that let the ball out, wasn't it?
It was Doherty who took the sideline quick and it came back to him. And like Morris Brosnan was making the point last night as well. And we were saying the man management, kick it out into the corner and the game is dead. And he was saying the likes of Meade would have done it because that's what Owen Frayne did in an attacking sense.
Yeah.
Put the ball out over the end line and Conor Gleeson didn't have time to restart the game against Galway.
You wouldn't criticise him for it, but at the same time, it's the small margins. Like that thing, for example, now because that's been highlighted so much and there's been such a big thing made out of it, every team in the country now will be totally aware of the fact that if we end up in this situation, this is what we do.
The buzzer has added so much drama to this kind of stuff, but you kind of feel like you have to let's enjoy it for a couple of years because everyone's going to be too smart for it soon. Like, you know,
I don't know, Michael.
Do you not reckon?
I don't know, lads.
There's a lot of pressure.
There's a big movement against the Hooter, right? And there's a very influential movement against the Hooter, and you know, there's a piece nearly every week about why the Hooter isn't working. And I don't think it's been backed, and I've been saying this, I don't think it's been backed by important people in HQ. They just, there's an issue with it, and I don't know whether it's financial or whether they don't like the manner in which it ends the game, but just relax for a second and think about the possibilities that we could garner, right? A lot of our games now are behind paywalls. They are with GA+. That's going to be the way of the future. GA Plus is not going away. And it's actually a brilliant product when you have access to it and you can afford it and you can watch stuff on it. A lot of games are going to be on GA Plus and the GA are going to invest in that product. But the moment, you're talking about watching that game, right? How many people saw Jack McCarron's sideline two-pointer after the Hooter to level the game? The iconic buzzer beater moment. The stuff that you would fall in love with a sport that might be on the other side of the world because you're actually understanding the hysteria and the craziness of it. Say basketball, for example. You get some of this in rugby. You get it in other sports. I think in an era of social media, I think we should be capitalising on this. Like David Clifford's iconic score at the Hooter last year at halftime, McCarron's two-pointer at the end. I think take time away from referees and try and just emphasise on making this work.
They are two different iterations of the Hooter though. Clifford's one.
Yeah,
it
has to be finesse match. It does, but I just wouldn't be getting rid of the Hooter. I think there should be investment.
I think the way it is now is great. I think you just need to get used to it. And it's been my problem with a lot of it is that I am not equipped to look at a match still after 2 years and see 68 minutes on the clock and think that they've got a minute to do this because you're just waiting for injury time. We've been watching it all our lives in that way. So I like it, I have to say. I think it's the right way to use time.
It's clarity, lad.
Yeah. It's the right way to use time. If the clock needs to be stopped, as opposed to this kind of like few minutes, play on, so there's no real accountability to it. We know what's happening with the clock. Surely that's the best way to do things.
I do like the idea of what it was, though, last year, having to play after the
I understand it, right? But it's like, I think we're just getting caught up in these kind of personal opinions.
It's extra time. reminder like for no reason, really. Like, you know what I mean? It's like you should be thinking of your last shot as 69 as opposed to 70. Yeah, do you know what I mean? It's just you just have to readjust to it. Like, your time runs out. Like,
it's just starting at maybe 67, 68 minutes now. But also, we're learning. It's so much harder for teams to keep the ball and press up. Anyways, let's keep moving.
We're running out of time, right? And we've gone on here, but that was interesting. I just think Derry worth mentioning here, right? That like
down two,
they threw it away.
Down two, and they were in such a good place, but unfortunately, it's endemic in this.
There's not
team.
There's no head in the shoulders there, from what I could see. Anyway, like
I can't put my finger on it really, like, because there's a lot of quality in that outfit. They're playing Armagh now in round one, a really tough draw for them. Like, I don't know. I like so many of the Derry footballers. I think they're
and
quality
they still should
operators.
Have won an extra time, by the way. And that's the other thing is like what you have then that 2 point.
Like, I feel sorry for Dermot Baker, but like it's a foul. There's people trying to argue it's not a foul.
It's definitely
like,
a foul.
It's a foul.
It's a stupid foul. It, no it, need
it,
for it.
You know,
they weren't
going
to get a 2 pointer from that position.
They probably weren't, and there were seconds to go. So
and begging. It's like a guarantee.
Did you see the celebration?
You're like, oh, here we go. This is over.
Seconds, like.
Left his boot. Yeah.
Exactly, Matthew.
He turned. He did the Tiger Woods walk-off. Yeah,
just to mention the Tiger Woods walk-off, there was an unbelievable...
You're the one who has to go here, Tommy.
Yeah. No, I'm okay. Don't worry. I'll be late. I don't mind being late. There's just unbelievable slow-mo video, and Michael Canavan was shooting it for Ulster GAA at the weekend. You know, the behind-the-scenes shots of McCarron's two-pointer, right?
Yeah.
But
what a sweet strike, by the way.
And I don't know how much more you can slow it down, but... I heard Donny Smith talking about it to Colin Parkinson, actually, the way that Jack McCarron drops the ball and hits it at such a low trajectory. And I played college football with Jack McCarron too. Always said one of the best left foots I've ever seen in Gaelic football. But because he drops at such a low trajectory, he has less spin on the ball than most people, right? The way that he strikes the ball. And when the slow-mo happens, it's a little bit like Tiger on the 16th, that chipping in the Masters when the little swoosh appears. I'm telling you, watch it back. The ball is slowly spinning over the black spot of the bar. It's one of the most iconic scores we've ever seen. Yeah. I think we're sleeping on these moments. And that's
I agree. Yeah.
Like, this is the cut through. This is how you get through to kids at a young age and have them obsessed with a sport or fall in love with a sport. And I just think that was just such an epic way. And you know what? Fair dues to Noel Mooney for getting it wrong and then reversing his decision.
Because thank God he did. It would have been
because we wouldn't have had such drama otherwise.
We've got Rory Beggan playing Stewart, both on the pitch getting everybody off as they were looking for his autograph after the match, and then also standing off the pitch, which I don't know is legal. Stopping fans from going over and interfering with McCarron's shot. It was bizarre stuff.
I thought it was Lowry at Bethpage and McElroy trying to calm down the
it was unreal. Let's go to page one. We don't have too much longer here.
There's loads happening here.
There's loads. Well, yeah, there's page one. Sorry, so it's Cork have moved up one despite not playing because of Derry's mishaps. They go to 8. Mayo dropped to 7 because the Dubs have gone up 2.
And
the 6 is
Loud have dropped out to 9th. So
Loud have dropped.
Keep it on this page.
Sorry, it's Loud. I meant to say Loud have dropped out of the top 8. And then you've got Roscommon 5, Galway 4, Donegal 3, Armagh 2, Kerry 1 as the unchanged top 5. Armagh, very very briefly, like. One thing you guys were critical of last week, I think, was the fact that they didn't have that second half performance against Fermanagh. I was saying it didn't really matter. Yeah, but if they were listening, they were like, right, feck you. So I'll show you what a second half performance is when a game's out of hand this year. And they look like they're just
awesome.
Like, they're just flying along the ground at the moment, aren't they? And they could, and you kind of feel the one thing with Armagh is you don't know who's going to be the star on any given day. Like, it be anyone.
Take your pick: Connerty, Jardy O'Byrne,
Blaine Hughes,
phenomenal. Like, and like Blaine Hughes prides himself on the efficiency of his kickers. Very different goalkeeper to Kieran McGeaney. And I love the quote he gave to the press afterwards: "How do you keep them happy? I keep them unhappy. That's my job."
Oh, Ethan Rafferty.
Sorry, Rafferty.
Did I say?
Kieran McGeaney.
No, but I loved what Kieran McGeaney said about Rafferty and Blaine Hughes afterwards.
Yeah, of course.
You know, like that, he keeps them unhappy. Happy, and that's what he has across the squad. Ross McQuinnan's been probably their footballer of the year so far. Drops out through injury. Don't know how bad that's going to be. He'd be a huge loss. But Joe McElroy steps up. Darren McMullen has his performance of the year. Connor Turbitt has his performance of the year.
Connor Turbitt is flying, isn't he?
He's back at it.
Yeah.
And he's back to the form he was in 24. So look, Armagh are a frightening prospect at the minute, and they are a team that can mix it up any way you want.
It feels like there's a top three, it really does. And I think if your call last week on whether to overreact to the Donegal performance, ever, it's they've consolidated two there.
Thank you.
And it feels like it's Yeah, I think I was happy enough with Armagh over Donegal last week. I think
I was too, time. Actually. Yeah, I just
thought it was a call.
Nice to get it on the record. I think it's the first time anyone's ever told me I've made a good call in the power rankings. Yeah, so good to hear that.
I don't know if I was even doing that. But right, the Dubs, right? Oops, we're going to have our Harvey Norman Stat of the Week from this, Tommy.
Yeah.
Because it was a weird old game, I thought. Not very enjoyable, I have to be honest.
I have a bit of a theory on this, and you might play ball on me a little bit more than James and Paddy did on the pod, because they kind of just ignored me when I said this. But Dublin absolutely ripped Louth asunder at the weekend. 20 points to 10. It was a different kind of game.
It did not have very different, yeah.
Did not have the excitement.
Than the ones anybody wants to watch, yeah.
It was mature. It was clinical. It was the Dubs tapping into their, I suppose, what they've got in the line. Do you know, like what they've got in them, like that kind of ability to control a game and the medals in the dressing room, and look, the way Niall Scuddy played ball, Cormac Costello played ball the weekend, the ravenous nature of their defence. It was a brilliant performance by Dublin. Exceptional. They absolutely ripped Louth asunder, as I said. Louth were stodgy, they were tense. It was a weird performance by a Louth team who were Leinster champions. They did not play as Leinster champions. They didn't play as if that had freed them up. They played as if there was a weight in them from the whole county, sitting there, just waiting for them to beat the Dubs. And it doesn't really happen like that. It was a weird atmosphere. It was more Louth people, I felt, in Amore Park. But by God, the goals behind Niall McDonald in the second half felt like the hill. The way the Dublin fans responded, they got rocking, they got behind their team, and they responded after the Aucklin game. My theory kind of rests on the manner in which Loud's shooting efficiency sat under 30%, and their kickouts, their own kickouts, were well under 40%. And there's a load that goes into that.
And you link that in with what we just talked about with Blaine Hughes, which I think was, what, 22 out of 23?
Yeah, true. Yeah. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, which is unheard of in the new rules, but it does show you that it is possible to maintain the advantage. So what Loud do, as you say, like 30%, 40% on their own kickout.
Between 40 and 50 on their own kickout, and then their shooting efficiency, I think, was 10 from 30 shots, so it was 30%.
Yeah.
So, but my thing on this is, okay, Jared Brennan, is we know he's not on the sideline, right? He's got Dean Rock, Dennis Bastic, Stephen Cluxton, who weren't involved at Loud last year. He's got about 20 people on his backroom team. Niall Moyna, James Downey, the entire performance analysis unit, the video analysis unit.
There wasn't
unit.
Enough room for them on the sideline in Portlaoise.
But the entire Dublin backroom team were with Loud last year. They know this Loud side inside out. And their game plan absolutely destroyed what Loud had to offer at the weekend. They literally took them apart in terms of their defensive shape, forcing them down blind alleys, putting pressure on them in terms of their shots, allowing them to take ridiculous shots that completely sucked the momentum out of them. They ate them alive in the breaks. Like, there's a study in how Dublin did this the weekend. I'm not saying it all had to do with that, but they knew how to take them apart, and they picked them apart. And I think actually Loud played into their hands, and I am so happy to see Dublin and Loud play each other in the qualifiers. I know most people aren't.
Be different.
I think it's going to be fascinating to see how they respond to that, because Loud aren't as bad as they showed.
They can't possibly be.
But it was pathetic, really.
Yeah.
It was a very poor showing by Loud. I know themselves, very high standards in that group.
Yeah.
It's a great opportunity for them to bounce back now in 2 weeks' time.
So the stat is that they're less than 30% on efficiency on their shooting, which is because of the way Dublin squeezed them.
And like 8 of those shots were dropped short or blocked. 8 or 9 of those shots were dropped. So again, 33% of the shots close to it. My stats aren't great here. Very close to it were blocked or dropped short, given the pressure that the Dubs put on them.
Yeah, I imagine it was a similar thing. I haven't been in O'Connor Park on Sunday, that Kildare were doing similar. Now, Westmeath weren't perfect with their shooting either, but Kildare were having a lot of wides, and it was sucking the life out of the place.
And one
thing you really feel like,
David,
is
we were talking about that with David Island this morning. Yeah.
Why is, I don't know if it's the more room or the fact that because everybody is shooting two-pointers, that I feel like shooting has improved an awful lot across the game over the last few years. You're feeling like there's less wides. You're feeling like these
people are being allowed
stunning
to
points
take it on
far more,
too,
often, and
they're definitely practicing more.
I think they are practicing more. It's about time as well, because I've talked to inter-county players like 10 years ago who would say that like they were never taught kicking even in their entire career from club level up. Like, you know, it just wasn't. It was all about fitness and everything like that. And I feel like shooting, everything like that, is all a bit much bigger part of the game now, and that's fantastic. Dublin, like, I just wonder how much this works against a team they don't know as well, don't play into their hands. I texted you at halftime. I was so frustrated. Like, I can't watch that kind of football, Tommy. And I know Dublin fans will say, and I'm sure Paddy says to you, they did what they had to do to win. They were the better team. They dominated. It's Dublin's best performance in 2 years, right?
Well, maybe
but
Galway.
But I don't want to watch it.
Galway and Salt Hill, maybe.
Niall Scully was standing with the ball bouncing and soloing without taking steps for I'm not joking. I'd say a combined 7 or 8 minutes of the first half.
Mick, and I get you.
I don't want to see it.
That's on loud, man. That is on loud.
Absolutely. You know, why are Dublin, with all the resources they have, with all the footballers they have, there's loads of All-Ireland winners in that team. Why are they the only ones who think that this is the way we play?
Well, Donegal
no
did
other
that.
Team did
Donegal
it.
Allowed Paddy Clifford to run the entire game last year. Mead allowed Sam Mulroy get 57 touches of the ball in the Leinster final last year. Teams learned from it. For some reason, Loud did not push up on Niall Scully, who's one of the best footballers in the country, if you allow him to do it. Niall Scully, and I get you, right? You can find loads of examples of me on the record giving out about the Dubs over the last 10 years talking about
they
resources.
To win. This is a style thing. I don't know. It's not going to win them in All-Ireland.
But I've seen Niall Scully free up. I've seen a performance there from Niall Scully where he is spreading past the outside of the left, the outside of the right. He's pulling the strings there. He's getting his head up and he's moving the ball way quicker than I've seen him do over the last couple of years. I do agree with you.
That's what happened against Galway in the league, the last round of the league, and got them relegated. They don't have penetration.
I saw enough to suggest that might be on the cards for the Dubs later this summer. Yeah. I think there was a plan in place for Loud. I think they executed their game plan with a maturity that just shows how many All-Ireland winners are in that dressing room themselves.
More than you think when you start looking around the team. It feels like a newer team than it actually is, isn't it? Because if you look at, it's Davy Byrne, Brian Howard, Costello,
Paddy Small,
obviously Kilkenny, and obviously we're talking about Niall Scully, who really got Merchant and Conn, who weren't obviously playing.
I think the penetration comes with Conn as well.
Bugler, I suppose, not of the latter All-Ireland, but still, he was there and playing,
Do you know, I think Dublin are going to be very interesting to watch across this All-Ireland series. I think Wicklow allowed them to escape jail down in Aughrim. I think Loud could have put the foot in the throat. I think the manner in which maybe Westmeath will do the job now, but I think the Leinster counties have let themselves down. They had a chance to put their foot on Dublin's throat and they've allowed them to squirm out. And now I think...
It's all down to Westmeath.
They haven't squirmed out just yet, Tommy.
I think the Dubs are going to get a bit of a run this year. I don't know how far.
Who are they playing in the first round?
I wonder if Loud. Six or ceiling.
Oh, of course, we know, yeah.
I wonder if six or ceiling, and I'm really excited to see what Loud are going to actually show us in 2 weeks' time. Because by God, they couldn't have got a better draw for themselves. Or maybe in the Loud dressing room, they're going to wilt, and they're going to think, oh no, the Dubs in Croke Park, but I doubt that. And if you are feeling like that, just play this back to them.
It'll be the lowest they are this year, I'd say. I think they're gonna.
I just wanted to have the final word after Tommy put in my place about Westmeath earlier on.
Talking about the qualifiers. Yeah. He doesn't even care about the national final. Yeah.
But that's the thing. I don't think the provincial title it matters as much.
I think Westmeath should be headed down.
That's what I said at the very, very start. Yeah, when we went onto that page. Yeah,
win the Leinster title, and you might be.
We should be ahead of more than down if we go and win the Leinster title.
Beat Cavan. And you will be.
This is all forward planning, I don't know.
In fairness, can't do very much to rise up much more the rest of the season.
And they can't go any higher than they are now.
I do actually think Down are probably around there, the 14th.
Down are better than they were on Sunday.
Sure. That was not the real Down.
Westmeath haven't beaten the Donegal. They've beaten Meath, which is pretty good, and they've won both their games, and they followed it up with a win. So, and they're tight. They're beside each other. I'm not to be defending Tommy here.
I think the intangibles of what goes into the power rankings, especially with the fact that Westmeath.
Has he taken into account, for example, that Westmeath have their nicest jersey in years?
Yeah, you like
beautiful
it.
Beautiful shade.
You like it? Yeah, yeah. I like the white badge.
I haven't. That probably should come into account, but I have taken
down.
Into account
I didn't like that black.
I have taken into account that Luke Loughlin is out for the year.
Not to
rain on your parade, Matthew, but
it's all you want to do. You've been raining on his parade since we got here.
Luke Loughlin is out seemingly for the year.
I
do think Westmeath have an unbelievable opportunity beyond the Leinster final to get themselves into a really good place and build on what Mark McHugh is doing with them this year. I do think you're in a really good place for the next 18 months, 2 years, and just to build on it.
Yeah.
But do I think you're higher than Down at the minute? It probably will be by the end of the summer, but not right now.
Okay.
I'm happy enough with that,
That wasn't my fault.
No, it's Grant.
It's not his fault where anybody falls on the rankings that he picks.
They're not even Tommy's rankings. No.
Power rankings on Off the Ball with Harvey Norman.
They're
official stats sponsor of the GAA. We will be back with you with the hurling tomorrow, and we'll be back with Tommy. I don't know if you'll be here next week, Tommy, but I do enjoy it. I do enjoy it. A bit of tetchiness. Love it. But
thanks, fellas.
Either way, we'll be back next Tuesday.
Thanks, lads.
The Power Rankings on Off the Ball with Harvey Norman. Official stats sponsor of the GAA.